internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a weekly show where two to three to four old guys talk about old games. I'm your bearded host, Tyler, and I was going to lay off masturbation for a week. I was going to lay off and not tell a story for a week, but I had a special request.
Who in the world requested you tell a masturbation story?
Josh Nance of Uniracers fame. It turns out he sent
me Jennifer Lawrence talk got him worked up.
It's like I need a good lead up. He sent me a text message saying, well, apparently my mom has started listening to the show.
What?
She thinks it's okay, but really doesn't like your opening monologues. So I was like, I have a story about you, Josh. I thought about telling, but didn't. He's like, I know what you're talking about. Please tell it. That way she'll hear it and apologize to me. So that's the story I have.
I know what you're going to tell, and I can't believe that we're actually going to do this. Okay. Yep.
All right. So I think I've stated before that Josh Nance was my friend that had Cinemax and HBO and things like that growing up. So everybody was sitting out at his house to masturbate. Tyler Dunnigan included. Like, everyone would just, like, a rotation stay at his house to masturbate in his room. Like, everybody else in the living room, and then people would take turns in his room masturbating to Cinemax.
This is like a fucked up teen movie. It's like missing all the girls.
Well, one time, I had just gotten done masturbating in his room, and I have a handful of it.
Of what?
My ejaculate.
Oh, your jism.
My jism, thank you. And his room was directly across from his bathroom. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go wash this off my hand. So I walk out in the hall just in time for his mom to walk out of the room and walk down the hall. So I see her coming. I've got a handful.
Did she see you coming?
You know? And I just like, oh, fuck. So the only thing I can do is I just put my hand in my pocket real quick. That was awful. So I resolved not to do that again. I should have stopped masturbating at Josh's house, but I wasn't going to do that. I should have taken tissues in there with me, but I wasn't going to do that. So what I instead decided to do whenever I would finish in Josh's room, I would wipe it on his carpet.
Why?
I don't know. Well, because I wouldn't have to. So I wouldn't have to.
You never wanted to go through the hallway again.
Yeah, I don't want to run to his mom. Sure, like, yeah, just have it like tissues or paper towels or something like that. Nope. I'm gonna go to either under his bed or to a corner of his room where no one goes and just rub it in the carpet. And I stayed at Josh's house every weekend for like 10 years. So I rubbed a lot into his carpet.
That's way too much jism for one carpet.
It was typically in the far corner of his room. He didn't have a nightstand. The bed was really close to the corner. No one ever walked back there. Well, it turns out like he called me pretty upset. He's like, well, man, my mom was cleaning my room, walked over to that corner, walked back out and said, Josh, I walked in the corner of your room. I know what you've been doing. I know what's there. Go in there and clean it up. And she made him go in there and watch him clean the carpet in that corner of the room.
God.
Good friend. Like, I've thrown my friends under the bus with shit like that. Josh,
yeah, Gary.
Josh did not. He just, like, solemnly, like, damn it, Tyler, I'm not going to tell my mom. And he just cleaned it up. So he's hoping she will hear this and apologize to him for making him clean up my spunk in his carpet.
The crunchy spots.
Yes. The very, 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 like, 90s gel Carson Daly stiff carpet that was in that corner.
Oh.
There goes your lunch, John Sullivan. You're welcome.
Hey, I'm here. My name's Dave, and I'm your bespectacled host. And I was going to tell the story about how I used to rub my jism into my friend's carpet, but obviously we can't tread down that road twice. So I will tell the story about the time that I had a violent allergic reaction to pine nuts in the middle of a board meeting at someone's house. His wife had made couscous with pine nuts, and it was fucking delicious. It was just the best couscous I've ever had. So I ate probably three bowls of this, and this was all prior to a meeting that we were going to have at his house. So we're sitting around outside, and I just start getting really hot. Like, really hot, and it's like almost like video game style where you like start getting tunnel vision. Like, the corners of your screen start going black. And I was like, I think I need to go to the bathroom. So I get up, excuse myself from the meeting, go to this gentleman's bathroom and just vomit everywhere. Just everywhere.
SNL skit style.
It's like, yeah, exactly. I mean, it is like projectile, like fake throw up, except that it's real and extremely painful. So I come back out and I want to play it cool, man. I want to play it cool. Like nothing has happened. Because you know I get embarrassed very easily. So like after I throw up, I spend like 15 minutes. Like I got one of their towels and like just toweled everything up. And then like I got left of the towel in my hand. Like I don't know what to do. So I just like lifted their trash can up and like put it underneath. So I head back out and I try to maintain my composure. And I sit down, and Nikki was there with me, and I look over at Nikki, and I'm like, I whisper to her, I just threw up a whole lot in the bathroom. Could you go, like, check out the scene and make sure everything's okay? She's like, yeah, are you okay? Should we leave? I was like, no.
Measure it for a record.
No way are we leaving. So she goes to the bathroom, and she comes back, and I'm like, how was everything? She's like, well, you cleaned up everything except for all the throw up on the ceiling. Needless to say, about an hour later, I had to go to the emergency room.
Our two co-hosts. After these two stories.
Well, that's a show. Let's roll Sycamore Drive. Or actually, we should thank Megalixir, because our listeners may notice that the music was a little different.
The rock remix of Moves by Sycamore Drive by Megalixir.
That's right. A link to that track can be found on the show notes at tadpog.com. Mm-hmm. Who the hell are you two?
Oh, man. I love being on a video game podcast. I'm just sitting here thinking about how, like, you want Josh's mom to hear that story.
Josh wants his mom to hear that story.
This many years later, you don't think it's going to be awkward seeing her again.
I'm already in too deep if she's heard all these episodes, so...
I mess up everybody's house when I go into it. I'm just spraying that shit everywhere.
So what fluids have you disposed of in a friend's house like David and Adam?
Yes, Jacob, of Wolf Fighting, X-Men, and Bioshock fame.
Hi, guys. I'm Jacob York.
Second bespectacled host.
Yes. Tyrone is the only odd man out.
I don't think we've ever explained that either. Jacob calls me Tyrone. You said it in various shows. I don't think we've ever made reference to it. So people are like... Is there a fifth host we don't know about?
He's always been here.
The mystery fifth host? The secret character?
Yes, Tyrone. That's a nickname that has sort of caught on.
I prefer it to my real name.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Winner. Yeah,
I'm not saying it.
That's okay. It's okay.
And that's me. I'm not going to talk about bodily fluids. I actually don't know that I have ever... masturbated at a friend's house.
Really?
I don't know that I have.
You're shaking your head no too?
No.
Is this just because you're on the mics?
No, I find it weird. This is Sean, by the way. Like, nobody knows who I'm, just a random boy screaming.
Tyrone, shut the fuck up.
This is Sean of Pilot Wings fame. No. And I find it strange, like, so many of my friends have these masturbation stories from strange places. Like, I was at the bathroom at Taco John's and I just got an urge. It's like, is that okay? Like, did I miss that?
In all fairness, it's mainly just Tyrone.
He is one of the two people that have stories like this, yeah. And he's the only one that actually talks about them.
I'm trying to think if I know stories about either one of you about.
I don't think so.
Please, God, don't say it if you do.
Oh, you would have run for office one day.
I don't think so.
I think Jacob would have fought me because he had insisted
that
I not masturbate at his dad's house when we used to stay over there.
That was important.
Damn it, Tyrone, do not masturbate at my dad's house.
Because I knew. I knew if I left you alone in my dad's place, which had Cinemax.
and 1970s Playboys.
And spacious carpeting.
Spacious shag carpeting. That would have been...
You would have hated my house. Wood floors everywhere.
Just Judge slipping all over the place. Yeah.
So is Tyler been over here again?
Yeah, sorry, Dad.
So what we do on this show, besides talk about
just terrible things just week in and week out.
Besides scarring your soul on a weekly basis.
Yeah. We
also play our way through IGN's top 100 Super Nintendo games and muse about our experiences on this very show. This week, Tyler, Miller, and Jacob, we are talking about Populous.
Populous.
Which is IGN's
Populous.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going out on a limb and saying that's the first Wicked reference in the history of Tadpog. Yep.
I'm glad that you got it, Jacob.
Okay, I have no idea what the hell's going on.
You're welcome. That's my encyclopedic knowledge of musical theater. It's really going to help us out today.
Actually, I do have a quiz, Populous level or musical. So I think you're gonna do pretty well.
But yeah, I'm sorry, I ran over you. It's 70th ranked.
It's
game,
a 70th
right?
ranked game. Yep. Which usually Megalixir will do a special rendition of a song from the 10th of each game. But not to spoil things too much, but there's like the music in this game composed of like four chords.
Yeah. Four chords and a heartbeat.
Depressing chords, too.
Like the second that we started playing it, I was like, oh, that sound takes me back. And I loved it, but it's not good for actual music.
We played with Nicole Nance of hopefully Kirby's Dream Land 3 fame.
Awesome.
And hearing that music stressed her out. It was like a Requiem for a Dream pupil dilation when it started.
It's good.
Oh, I hated it. I had to turn that heartbeat off like immediately.
It's good for the first 5 minutes because it really sets the tone for like the game. And then all of a sudden you're like, fuck this. We got to turn.
Yeah.
Because when I turn on Arrested Development, I'm turning the shit off.
Could we just play background noise? Could we just play it in the background of this entire episode and see what happens to the listeners?
Stress everyone out. Actually, I'm just going to play it behind your masturbation story, Tyler, and see how many people make it through.
It's going to induce seizures and shit all around.
40 people killed themselves today. Everyone that listens to Tadpog.
43, sir.
Shortchanging
Josh's
the asshole.
Josh's mom listens now, so at least 44.
All right, so before we get too much into the game, I'm going to talk about what everybody's been playing this week.
Why do you want to do that? You play a lot on the boat?
I did.
Let's start with you then. What the fuck did you play on the boat?
I cleared out a ton of my hard drive thinking I'd play a ton of Steam games. Did not play a single game on my laptop. I was on my 3DS the entire time.
Really?
On the cruise ship, basically you don't have cell service. You can get internet service for like...
a kidney?
Yeah, 30 bucks per half hour.
Holy God.
Yeah. I would occasionally.
Were they running AOL out there?
old man with a crank.
You could pay for it per minute. It was like $1.75 a minute.
Jesus.
Man, there were plenty of people at the kiosk they had set up checking Facebook.
Did you bring a whole lot of porn on your hard drive, or how'd you make it?
I had porn on my hard drive. But my wife was very understanding, despite the fact she was sick. So she was a trooper on the cruise.
I don't understand. I think you have to spell it out. Mm-mm. No, okay.
There's just some things you don't talk about, Dave. Which is kind of good, given the games that I played. I played through Professor Layton, and I was forced to really not go to the internet at all for any helps with the puzzle. Like, it was just me. I had tons of scrap paper around me trying to doodle and figure everything out.
Mm-hmm.
It took me 3 days, but I beat Professor Layton.
Which
on
one
the
was
boat.
That? Professor Layton in the case of the... shiny button?
Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask.
Okay.
It was fucking outstanding.
Cool.
Such a good game. Cannot recommend it enough.
I don't believe you, but okay.
It's fair. And after I finished that, then I started Virtue's Last Reward.
I've heard great things about that game. What did you think?
It's incredible. It is an incredible game. It's pretty good if you haven't played 999. Then it's incredible if you played that before.
It's like a 999, the Herman Cain simulator.
And it was also, it's puzzles, but a very, very different puzzles than Professor Layton. I was 15 hours into Virtue's Last Reward. I was doing very well. It's a lot more difficult than Professor Layton, the puzzles, because you're trapped in a room, and then if you want to live, you have to find your way out. So... That's the premise of it.
Doesn't sound hard. Well,
and if you don't want to live, then you win immediately.
And I guess every room is like Myst, almost, like where you get those kind of puzzles.
Oh, I see.
But I didn't know this until I got off the boat and was able to get on the internet and look. Apparently, there is a...
And by that, you mean pay $30.
Yep. There is a huge bug in the game that if you save while you're in a puzzle room, it's likely you'll lose your data.
Oh, Jesus.
There are two rooms in particular, if you save in, you will lose your data.
Like, guaranteed?
One of them is guaranteed. You save...
What the fuck, man? On general principle, that's like...
3DS.
That's like Sparkster level of game breaker.
I was 15 hours in, got to the PEC room, saved, lost it all.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
So what'd you do? Did you just throw it off into the ocean?
I was pissed. And then just start it over.
Wow.
It's not that bad because I just did the opposite of what I'd done before.
So you could see the...
Yeah, because there are like a ton of different endings. It's set up like a tree. It's very, very easy to go back and forth between what decisions you've made. So you can play through one scenario making the decisions and then jump back to every single decision and make the other one and play through to the end. So I just started on the other side of the tree and made all the other decisions before I got back to where I was before.
Oh, that's not too bad. At least you got to experience something different.
Yep. And then once you've seen something before, then you can fast forward through it.
See, it's not a bug. It's a feature.
Well, I couldn't fast forward through that since I'd lost all that data. But
you're a better man than me because I would have given straight the fuck up. Yeah, I did that. I would have been, nope, done. Yeah,
I don't know that I would have ever played it again. I think I would have been done.
It is such a good game that it was worth it, though.
I think that something like that would make me stop playing video games for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It would be like, I need to be doing something with my life. Because 15 hours of my life just disappeared for no reason. Yep. And I'm going to go do something else.
But that's just like work. I feel like that at the end of every week. It's like, 40 hours of my life are going.
Paycheck for that 15 hours.
Is that a thing?
You work.
People do?
You work, Mr. Runza.
So warning to anybody playing Virtue's Last Reward, only save during the novel portions of the game. Do not save at all in the PEC rooms or in the crew quarters.
It's like you'll lose your data
above those.
Okay.
I'm going to send Jacob back to Atlanta with my DS so he can play 999.
And his PS3 so that I can play The Last of Us.
He's a good friend.
Yeah.
He's a good friend.
I haven't even played The Last of Us yet. I just got it for my birthday, and then I was like, sure, Jacob, take it.
I'll be back in like a month. I'm borrowing it for a month. And I'm going to play through every PS3 game that I have wanted to play through and been unable to play through. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited.
It's a special Last of Us episode.
Yeah. I would like to think that I'll probably knock it out and have it done in time for Dragon Con.
Sweet.
So that I could give it back.
So then, as soon as you're done with it, then I'll learn to Miller who can play it.
Yeah, because I started it, but I started just the first little bit so I can... And then... The next day, I was buying a PS3. it was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I fucking love that game. Have you been playing anything else, Tyler?
No.
Miller? I know you played at least the first sequence of Last of Us.
I played the first little bit of Last of Us, and just it was awesome. But I was at somebody else's house playing it, so I haven't been able to get any farther than that. But I just immediately was enthralled with it. Picked up Dead Island Riptide the other day and played a little bit of it.
I have not heard good things about that.
You probably won't.
You will continue to not hear good things about this game.
It basically, the original was, okay, you're stuck on a tropical island and the zombie apocalypse comes. You go on to the next one, and it's okay, you're on a ship for about 20 minutes. All of a sudden, you're on another tropical island, and it just so happens the zombie apocalypse has made its way to this second tropical island. So it's like, it's not that great. Not so far. I hadn't got that far into it.
I feel like that game sold copies based on the trailer. The trailer for
that Dead didn't Island. Have yeah, anything but. To do with it.
Well, I love the original. Beautiful trailer. I love the original Dead Island. I thought it was great, but I was done with it. I don't want to have to play the exact same game over again, and that's what it seems like. But other than that, no, just those two and WoW and Populous.
Populous.
And Populous.
Populous.
I think you mentioning the trailer for Dead Island, I think, is so interesting because they had that, which appealed very much to these kind of high-minded gamer nerds that, you know, want to talk about how game is art and stuff like that. And then for Riptide, one of their special edition pack-ins was a limbless, headless torso of a woman in a bikini for a statue. Like, I don't understand what you guys are trying to do with your marketing. I don't get it.
What have you been playing?
What have I been playing?
The Dead Island Riptide, of course.
Jeez. I've been playing mobile games. Two mobile games that I can recommend because they were both free. One, it's by Big Fish Games. It's called Fairway Solitaire, I believe. And I got it through Penny Arcade was mentioned, I think, I don't know, maybe about a week back at the time of the recording that whoever it was that won Strip Search was doing a Penny Arcade Presents project with these people. Mm-hmm. And in order to celebrate that, they were giving away a game, and that game has in-app purchases and stuff like that. But you don't have to purchase anything. And I'm enjoying it. It's just a little card game. It's easy. But it was something to fill the time until Plants vs. Zombies 2 came out.
Oh, I haven't played it.
Yeah, and I
loved the first one.
Right, and I downloaded it immediately upon, like, I woke up, turned over, knew it had dropped, and downloaded it, and immediately started playing. I'm having a great time with it. A lot of people are giving it shit and saying, ugh, EA's ruining Plants vs. Zombies because of in-app purchases
like
and stuff like that.
Populous.
Exactly. The way that I look at Plants vs. Zombies 2 is that it's an impatience tax is all it is. My understanding is there is one plant that you have to pay for in the entire game. Everything else is unlockable. Hmm. There are, at this point, three different maps. And you get to the end of the map and they say, if you would like to go on to the next map, you could pay $4 or you could go back and earn some more stars. And if you want to pay the $4 to go on, you can do that. Or if you want to go play the game that we have given to you for free, you can go do that. So I've just been playing it for free and having a great time.
I've just been spending hundreds of dollars. Although making my way through Legends of
Simpsons tapped out, man.
You can buy their in-game currency and stuff like that. And you can buy like a $99 bundle of in-game currency, which is like, what are you doing? What are you doing with that much? Why do you want that much gold? I don't know.
People buy it. I mean, you know, there are people out there that are just
best value. Here we go. Yeah, but I don't know. I can't see what you can buy with the in-game currency except for like plant food and
bypassing levels.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't even know.
I beat it.
Because
you just bought it. I beat it.
Yeah.
Put it on the list.
Yeah, it's weird because I guess for those people, it's a lot more about completion as opposed to experience. But I'm loving it. I'm having a great time with it and would strongly advise that anyone with an iOS platform get it because it's only out for iOS. So
right now. Yeah. Are they planning on?
I don't know if they're planning on anything else. I mean, surely, you know, surely. They don't want to leave money on the table, but yeah, I love it. I'm having a great time.
What's the third mobile game?
That was it. I'm sorry.
What?
I know rule of threes. Yeah. I broke it. I played some more Borderlands 1. I'm at a point with Borderlands 1 where Borderlands is like that relationship that you know should end, but you're just trying to like still like go through the motions. And I just like sit down and I play it and I'm like, okay, well, I don't need any more guns. I don't need any more money. I kind of just want this information. Please don't make me kill people. Can I just get to the next information point so that you can...
Please just pay $4 to get to the next information
point? I paid for the Game of the Year edition, so I feel like I need to do everything, but I'm just so tired of doing it.
It's that relationship where it's easier to move on than to divide your shit up and go your separate ways.
Yeah.
Just keep trudging through it. I got to that point where you remember Morrowind and the Elder Scrolls?
Yeah.
I got to the point where like I had my house and I didn't have anything else to do. Like I pretty much got into the last boss, which was Dagon or whatever his name was. So I had my house. I just started collecting every like magical weapon in the game and very meticulously setting it in shelves and places around the house. My own house looks is just a shit box of stuff thrown everywhere. But my Morrowind house was immaculate.
I have the sort of the same experience with games like that, with Fallout, with Skyrim, because it gets to a point where your so powerful. It's like, what's the point? I don't really know what I'm doing anymore. I don't know what I'm gaining. I'm tired of this game, but yet I am compelled to continue to play. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. The Last of Us.
What have you been playing, Dave?
Me? I've been playing Fire Emblem Awakening. It is very, very good. It's for the 3DS, by the way.
Man.
It is so good, but there's two different modes. Classic mode and there's casual mode. I chose a mistake of choosing classic mode, which means that if your units die in battle, they're gone.
Yeah.
Not a good mode for me because I don't want anyone to die because I want to see how their relationships progress. I'm sure everyone here at the table knows it's a pretty much...
It's a tactical...
turn-based strategy game meets a dating sim where you form all these relationships with all these different characters. And that's exactly why I want them to stay alive so I can see where their relationships, how they blossom.
Yeah.
I've put probably 10 hours into this game, but have not progressed very far because it's insanely difficult for me to make it through a battle without a stray arrow hitting someone who happens to have 12 hit points. And it's just like, just one shot. Well, restart the game.
I was loaned the copy of Fire Emblem by David Dykus of...
Adventures of Batman and Robin fame.
Adventures of Batman and Robin fame, thank you. And he loaned it to me, and then Josh went to Comic-Con and wanted to take it with him. So I was like, well, okay, yeah. Borrow something I borrowed, sure. Dykus don't care. That's pretty much all he's played since Comic-Con. Like, he played through casual, he played through classic, and now he is playing through where you... max out every single character in the game, like some other kind of achievement you can get.
Besides that, I've been playing... I'm kind of worried, like, I don't really want to look at Jacob when I say this, because I'm worried about the face he's going to make.
Oh, no.
I've also been playing the fourth phase of the Final Fantasy XIV Realm Reborn beta. I think I'm going to play MMOs again, because, I think I'm going to play this game. So if there's anyone out there who wants to join my guild that's going to be so kick-ass... let me know. They don't call it guilds. They call it something else. But
you still
Link Shell?
No, they don't call it
Link Shells anymore. It's like a independent.
I can't remember.
That's a weird name.
Because I played the third phase, but I didn't realize the fourth phase was going on, and I'm out in the cold now. But I'm with you.
You still can't talk about it, correct?
I don't care anymore. It comes out like in a week.
Oh, okay. Oh, so by the time this drops, it'll be basically time.
Pretty much, yeah.
Let me ask you this, because Eli Phillips posted a link on the Tadpog wall about
an article.
And basically saying, you know, is Square dead? Why is this enough to pull you back into MMOs?
Because right now...
What makes it good, I guess, is the question.
Because it's taken all the things that I like... And this is not going to be a great answer for a lot of people, but it's taken everything that I like about Final Fantasy XI, which I played a lot of, and WoW, which I played a lot of, and kind of married the two together.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
compared everyone has 34 double Ds.
Compared to the 14.
What is wrong with that?
The 14 that was such a crash and burn, you know, a couple years ago, because I played that beta and I was like, yeah, this is going to be great. And I didn't play it long enough because, well, a week into it, I was like, oh, that was just money I'll never get back. But this one does marry a lot more outside concepts.
In second, I know I'm going to get slapped with a fine for saying this, but fuck it, I don't care.
Here we go.
Second reason I want to play this game, they're Tarutarus with mustaches.
But they're not called Tarutaru, though.
They're Lalafell.
Yeah, Lalafell. Yeah.
I was having a discussion with Tyrone yesterday about wanting Square to go out of business, because it's almost for the same reason that, you know, I've never been a big Star Wars fan, but I'm excited to see what Disney will do it and what do with it and what a different director will do with it. I am interested to see what it would be like if Bethesda got their hands on Final Fantasy, or if BioWare got their hands on Chrono Trigger. I want that world, because as it has been, there hasn't been like a Final Fantasy game that I've been interested in since 6, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think Square deserves to hold on to Final Fantasy anymore.
They need to go out on a high note, though, because it's good that they're doing 14, you know, Realm Reborn, and I hope it's extremely successful, because if the last thing that they had done, especially with an MMO, was that shitbox, that I would be really disappointed, because I've been such a huge Square fan for so long. Like that, I don't want that to be their legacy as they fail, because, and it turned out, I read an article that the guy who they the lead design on the original 14, like, had never played an MMO in his life. He had no idea anything about MMOs, which is why it was such a complete clusterfuck. But the guy that they brought in to do A Realm Reborn, turns out, like, he played WoW. He played all these other, you know, games. He had played Star Wars The Old Republic. He knew what to look for.
And knows how to program a game.
Did you guys know computers can do this?
Yeah. You heard it, perhaps?
Yeah, I knew.
Well, another thing that, this may not be a popular opinion, but I'm excited that it is a pay-to-play game.
Yeah.
Because yes, I've played so many shitty free-to-play MMOs in the last 2 years that I play for 3 days, and then I'm like, you know what? This game is pretty shitty.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's obvious that this, you know, these free MMOs are built and designed all around you, eventually paying them money. And I'd rather just go ahead and pay up front for a higher quality stuff. Game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I like WoW and A Realm Reborn, I'm happy to pay for, as long as they produce the quality. So Populous.
So the podcast is probably going to get canceled. Once now,
well, yeah. Once we get the
once it's up and running and guilds and it's over,
it's done.
All right, okay.
We'll just start doing the podcast over voice chat in A Realm Reborn.
Need to find someone else with a D name to come in.
Populous
was, as soon as I turned it on, I was like, oh, I rented this as a kid. I returned it an hour later.
It was your Jungle Strike?
Yeah. I do not understand what's going on here. Like, okay, let's click on this tutorial mode. Maybe this will teach me how to play the game.
Nope. What a fool.
Now, what does tutorial mode actually do?
Well, wait. Should we get into a special segment of me? I would love for a segment that I have heard called Dave Reads from Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That seems like a great way to begin this conversation. All right.
Hey, if you guys want, then we'll do it.
I was going to be upset if that didn't happen pretty soon, to be honest. I was going to walk out in anger, just knock over microphones.
Populous, guys, is an award-winning computer game designed by a guy you might have heard of, Peter Molyneux, for Bullfrog in 1989. This is an old-ass game.
Mm-hmm.
And is regarded by many of the first, as the first, I'm sorry, PC, quote-unquote, God games. It is the first in the Populous series, preceding a bunch of games I never heard of. Populous 2, Trials of the Olympian Gods, and Populous, The Beginning. Why they didn't do that one first, I don't know. In this game, the player adopts the role of a deity, and assumes the responsibility to shepherd people by direction, manipulation, and divine intervention. The player has the ability to shape the landscape and grow their civilization and their divine power, with the overall aim of having their followers conquer an enemy force, which is led by an opposing deity. That's it. Pretty simple, right? Mm. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
This is probably the most complex game that we have played for this show.
Yep.
I think hands down the most complex. And it's because it's a port of a PC game.
Yeah. And you can really tell. You play it for 5 minutes and you're like, oh, this should be on PC.
Right.
This is not meant for a controller. Because it just doesn't work in the same way. It feels clunky. It feels stilted to stop the action and then go and try and figure out what side of the options that you want to be in.
Right.
The tutorial, as we were about to talk about, is not a tutorial.
Yeah.
It doesn't teach you anything about how the game is played. It's just easy mode, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it's essentially the opposing force doesn't attack you.
Yeah.
Which is, I will note, the only version of the game that I played. Yeah. I played on tutorial. And that's because I did not feel confident that I could even start conquest mode, which is the mode where the PC, the computer, fights back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's because I couldn't, honestly, guys, like, I would try to, like, do divine intervention and they wouldn't work. And I didn't know why. I had no explanation why.
Well, it doesn't explain, like, you know, every game I ever played on Super Nintendo, on through, you know, in Nintendo, anything, comes with some kind of little instruction manual to tell you what different things do. I didn't have the instruction manual for this game, but I've never used one on any game that I think that I've ever played. It's always easy to pick up and figure out, okay, B fires.
Right.
A jumps, whatever. There is no possible fucking way you could have any idea of what anything in the game does at all without having the book or without going to the interweb to find out.
Yeah, I mean, it is YouTube.
There's nothing. And I was the same way with the tutorial. I'm like, oh, good. Well, this will talk me through it. Nope. It just brings up, you've got like all told 20 some odd different options of things you can do. And it's just like, okay, there's some wavy lines. What the fuck is that?
Yeah, it's like there's like this control panel, and you have to, they're composed of all these buttons, and you use your D-pad to move a cursor, another indication that this was a PC game, move a cursor over one of the buttons, and then you hit B or A to select it, and then something happens.
But now you do know there was like a quick map button into that too, where if you held down the right button and pressed X, that would do your certain spell.
Right, but that's way too complicated.
You take forever to learn how to actually do that.
I did not know that.
It's I didn't know that either.
It's doable, but I mean, you would have to be sitting there staring at the list of commands to figure out which ones to do, and it would, you'd never get the hang of it unless you played it for hours and hours.
A very long time.
Yeah. Who amongst us played this as a kid?
I did not.
I tried.
You tried for an hour.
I vaguely remember playing it, but
I feel like I got my, I could be mixing up holidays, but I feel like I got my SNES for my birthday. And then my grandmother ended up getting me Populous. So I played a bunch of Populous as a kid. And when I played it again to sort of rev up for this, I knew that it was a complex game with my adult brain. I knew that it was going to be a different experience. So I was curious, oh, I wonder how I play it as an adult, how that will differ from how I played it as a kid. I played it the exact same way that I played it as a kid.
How was
because
that?
It was like, this is what works. I know what raises, what lowers, as long as I can just keep getting my guys more and more to spread out and occupy more space, I'll be fine.
Well, explain that a little bit, because the folks listening may have no idea what we're talking about.
Listen, there's no reason why you would. So you have control over a map that is just an area of land. The only power that you have initially in conquest mode is to be able to raise and lower land. So
you want to make flat land.
Yes, you want to make flat land so that your followers can have better
buildings.
And
those buildings generate mana.
Yes.
And raising and lowering earth costs mana.
Right.
So the idea is to make a flat section so that you can gain more mana than you're spending.
Right.
Once you've built up some mana, what do you do?
Once you've built up some mana, you can only cast your magic, I guess, in places where either you can see a building or one of your buildings, or you have a knight, so you can.
Oh,
and that's another thing that is extremely hard to get the hang of at first, because there are moments when, like, okay, I've scrolled over here, I can see a building off in the corner, but I can't click it. If I would go over and then come back, all of a sudden I would be able to lower and raise there, like. It's really, really clunky in that way.
How that works. Because I was curious how
you'll notice,
figure out where you can raise and lower.
You'll notice the cursor goes from a large square to a small spot. And then when it's a small spot, that's where you can actually use it.
Okay.
But when it's a square, that's telling you...
Square to
you
a cross.
Or a cross.
Yeah.
If it were like circle with a line through it to designate, nope, can't do anything here. That might have been good. Yeah, if it was the Ghostbusters symbol.
But that's, again, one of those things that you have to learn in that first 3 hours with no damn tutorial. Show you what to do.
I've got to be honest, I don't know how this is going to come off on the podcast, just because I feel like Populous, more than a lot of other things, like, you can say, oh, Jungle Strike, it's a helicopter action game, and you kind of know what that looks like.
Right.
I feel like it's hard to say, oh, well, Populous looks like this.
It's a 16-bit black and white. If anybody's familiar.
Well, I would describe it as I was playing it, I was thinking, this is the equivalent of a 16-bit RTS. It's a real-time strategy game with like a German board game bent.
Yes.
Because I was thinking the entire time I was playing this, this is like Age Carcassonne free-for-all. What were you going to say?
Age of Empires. Is what it felt like insofar as
I can see that.
The perspective and the German board game thing makes total sense to me also.
That's what it felt like to me. Is that, and that's the way I would describe it to someone who has never played it. Is, I don't know. You remember Warcraft? Not the MMO. The thing that came before that.
Yeah.
Think of that. Mix it with a German board game and put it on the Super Nintendo.
And Confusion.
Add Confusion.
Because on your screen, there's the smaller screen shaped like a diamond that you can see just a little bit of. The world is massive.
Right.
And you can just see a little bit of it. You can scroll and it takes forever.
Yeah, because you can't zoom in or out.
Yep.
So it's all just, you're seeing everything. Where are
you? You are
up
not
close, and you have to literally move the window to see the rest of the world. The
first you are definitely a pagan god. You are not omniscient.
No. The first thing that came to mind with me was Caveman Command and Conquer.
Okay.
But it's just with cavemen, and you're just trying to move.
You say cavemen, and that reminds me of something else I was thinking when I was playing this game. This game would have been, I think, better if it had any fucking personality whatsoever. I feel like it didn't have any personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because
you have, like, these cavemen, like you're saying.
Dude, that's
you're
all
the good guy. You control blue cavemen. Every now and then, they turn into blue knights. And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Versus the red cavemen.
Right.
The occasional red knight.
Like, they don't have any
carrying around the huge skull.
Yeah. You have an Ankh, they have a skull.
Yeah, that's about how you designate who's good and bad. It's like a Shadowrun skull, too.
That's true, yeah.
The game's intelligence is a little weird because I never knew once I did something like there's a command to go and settle here. Go attack if anybody's there and settle here. I never could figure out half the time whether they were actually doing it or not.
Right, that's the other thing.
And I didn't understand because if you've got your, if your little men go into one of your buildings and you don't have any actually moving around, a lot of times they would stay in the building.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to go and actually destroy my own buildings.
Exactly, remove the
building. So they would get off their asses and move
west. And go do something else. Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of like a RTS, except that you can't specifically control units. You have to manipulate them in some way.
I mean, in that regard, it has to be judged as a success because it must be what it feels like to be a god and just be like, come,
fucking cavemen,
come
their free
on.
Will.
Just do this shit for me. Gotta manipulate. All right, fine.
Well, I'm going to destroy your home so that you are forced to do something now.
This is a test of faith.
Yeah, don't worry, you'll be fine. Or you won't be, and I'll just replace you.
In the northwest corner of the diamond above it, there's the book that you can see the world.
Please don't make a Gumby reference, so I'm going to lose my shit.
There's the book that has the dots that are you and the enemy and the world.
Because it's a giant book.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then what I always thought looks like an arrow pointing to a Z.
Yeah.
Which
what is that?
I guess it's supposed to be north.
Oh, fuck.
but if you look at it's in a book. If you look at it like you're supposed to look at a book, it's pointing to a Z.
I know.
It's, yeah. But what, it's,
who puts north on the right? North is up.
It's north. It's north.
North is not pointing right.
And on the northeast is your mana bar that shows you how much mana you have and what miracles you can perform.
Right. I want to get into that a little bit because we talked about generating mana. What the fuck do you use them for? I kind of know, but I was like never able to do any of the miracles except for Earthquake, which is like the first one that you get.
What did we end up doing in some of our games? We did Swamp. Swamp is a lot of fun.
Swamp is, I think, was by far the most effective thing that I ever used.
For me, it wasn't particularly effective, but I thought it was super fun. Like,
what's it do?
It just creates these little different colored patches of land that if one of the, not just one of them, if whoever walks into it, they get sucked into it.
Yeah.
They die?
Yeah. They totally die.
And every time they lose one of their units, like that's a huge amount of the influence. Because there's also on the top right of the screen the influence bars, which show whether your deity or the other deity has more influence at any given time.
Uh-huh.
And when one of their units dies, the buildings like for influence make no difference. But every time one of their actual cavemen dies, that hurts the influence a lot.
Well, wait, then what's the point of all the different buildings? Because you can make different buildings.
I think your mana will go up faster if you've got more and bigger buildings.
So why do you need influence?
That's what you win.
Yeah.
If you have all of it, they have none of it, you win.
But it's really not important then, right? Because if you have enough mana, you can just kill all their followers.
Well, it is, because essentially what you're getting to is that when your influence bar is higher, that means you actually have more physical moving units. So if you got to the end, got bored, and wanted, we're kind of skipping ahead to the final miracle, but the Armageddon, like if you have way more influence, but you're separated on the map, and you hit Armageddon, you're going to force everybody to the center to fight it out. And if you've got that much influence, you're just going to destroy.
You're
going to
win. You're automatically going to win.
Influence is just a measure of who's winning.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense to me. The arrow.
That's a much more simplified.
So what else? There's Earthquake, which is, like I said, the only one that I used. I use that liberally because it's the only miracle I could get to work. I tried using Swamp, and I never could get, like, I could pepper the ground, but, like, no one would ever walk through it.
And that's how it kind of works, is, like, even when you do the Earthquake and when you do the Swamp, it's just going to kind of toss some stuff out there with no real rhyme or reason. You're just going to get so many here or there. You're just going to remove ground and the Earthquake from a couple of different spots. You can't really, like, shape it to any point. It's just, like, randomly screw up the ground here. Randomly lay some swamps down in this area.
There's, like, Quicksand, too, right? Mm-hmm. Does that do the same thing as Swamps?
That is the Swamp, I think, is what you're
saying. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the icon with a guy that looks like he's falling in quicksand. Uh-huh. That's the Swamp.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Because that's the next one after Knight.
Because I made a few Knights.
Yeah, you can create Knights.
It was a little confusing to me because in order to make a Knight, one of your cavemen has to be a leader, right? Yeah,
mm-hmm. Holding the Ankh.
And in order for one of your cavemen to be a leader, you have to create an Ankh. Right?
Right.
My problem, is there a limit on the number of Ankhs you can have? Is it just one?
I think you can only have one.
I never had more than one. About this.
That makes
never...
sense. I was always frustrated because I felt like I wanted to move the line of battle forward, and I couldn't because I already made an Ankh 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. I never figured out how to have more than one knight at a time, actually.
Yeah, really. Me too.
Because one is really all you need, because it's really destructive.
Yeah, yeah. Your caveman turns into a knight and then pretty much...
just wreaks havoc.
Fucks up everything.
And he goes straight for the enemy, too. And as soon as he gets there... And that's the other thing. Having a house that you can see is not the only... If you have a person within an area, you can influence and raise and create in that area. So the knight's going to move straight towards the closest landmass that is close to the enemy. And once he's there, you don't need buildings. You can just start raising land and build a little bridge.
Get a little footpath.
Because, when Jacob and I were playing, we're stuck on an island. He makes a knight. The knight just walks him down the coastline. Just
who wants it? Who wants it?
Like fucking Darth Maul waiting for the fucking, I know you, I'm going to stop because.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes. Yes. Episode one, the first of the Star Wars movies. Yeah.
And then, Jacob, you just mentioned earlier that you don't like Star Wars. So.
Sorry.
I'll post a link to that scene in the show notes unless Disney has put a fucking stranglehold on YouTube.
I'm trying to remember the first thing that you can do is raise and lower land. Uh-huh. The second thing you can do is move your Ankh, which you can, I guess, direct people to the Ankh. I never really used it that much because it was...
I did to make knights because I think you have to have a bunch of people at the Ankh in order to make a knight, right?
Okay. Yeah, you have to select an icon to gather everyone to your leader.
Which it doesn't say, but I just kind of assumed that the reason you need more than one is because you sacrifice several of them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm fine believing that.
And then the leader just bathes in their blood and just transforms in a magical rite from caveman to knight.
Yeah. Then Earthquake is the next
this
one.
This is the next D&D game I'm going
to
run.
Then after the Knight was... I'm trying to get through all that because it winds up in the...
So after the Knight...
I can't wait to talk about the Flood.
Talk about the Flood.
Okay. After all a bunch of shit you're not going to use, some mountains or some
bullshit...
You get to Flood.
Oh, snap. All that water. Fuck your shit.
I found Flood to be the funniest because I didn't know what it was going to do. All of these other spells are localized to the area that you can actually see on the map.
Below the book.
Right. If you do the mountains, if you do...
Z. Yeah.
When you do Flood, it floods the whole fucking map.
What? The entire fucking world?
Everything up to like 2 units high above sea level. So, I mean, there will still be mountains left once you flood it, but I think it's 1, maybe 2 units up. And I found out the hard way. I was kicking ass in the game, the world that I was in. I was like, I'm going to flood and take them all out. as soon as I used it, the game over symbol comes up. I'm like, I just killed my entire population. It goes, I really thought I was into it. I'd gained all of it. I'd got all that mana, saved it up, didn't use much other shit, and just...
You killed your entire populace. Mic drop.
Populace! See you, Jacob.
Thanks for being on the show.
Because your other story, whenever you used Armageddon... Yes. You talked about earlier was also pretty good.
Yeah. So, like, there's even a warning on the game facts that I found out. Like, be careful where you put the swamp because your own units will walk straight into it. I had gotten a really high level of influence and we were still separated. I think the evil deity had actually used a flood and cut us off. But I'd gotten my influence back up and I decided, okay, I'm going to use Armageddon, which is the final big spell you can use, which forces all units to the dead middle of the map to fight it out. Well, I had accidentally dropped a swamp right next to where the holy symbols appear, and my entire population made a death march into the swamp. Now, you have to understand, when you use swamp in regular conquest mode, it's not Armageddon, as soon as somebody hits it, that little square of swamp disappears. They won't just keep walking into that same square. Apparently, when you use Armageddon, the swamps just stay there. It just, the chips fall where they may. And my whole population walked straight into the swamp until the very end, one of them walked around it, and I was, thank God. I was just like, oh. I just spent 30 minutes on
this
world.
Hey, guys, we can do this. Hey. Steps to the left. Fucking hey, figure
just,
it out.
Just a lemmings straight into it.
I'm the chosen.
Bob, the last man standing.
I've got a weird question. I saw something in the game that I'm not entirely sure I was supposed to see. Did any of you encounter large snails in the game?
Yes, that is a plague.
That's a plague.
That's a plague.
Oh, okay.
Because I once saw giant snails, and then I once saw giant ladybugs. There is a plague of ladybugs, and it just moves across the screen and takes out whatever's in its path.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Rodney Dangerfield came out and made you dress up as a girl.
That's the second week in a row that you made a Jonathan Brandis movie reference.
I'm going to keep the streak going.
He did more than two.
He also did, what, Sequest?
He did that snuff film, didn't he?
The man's dead.
He finished half of it, and that was it.
No sequels. No sequels.
Sorry, John Brandis.
we apologize to the family.
The family of Brandis. We're just listening to the show. Counting their never-ending story money. Just like, what? All right, so it populous. It took us, that one world takes hours to do, like the intro world. Hours and hours. There are 989 worlds to go through.
Yep.
If you go through all the worlds, like, is there an ending?
I assume someone, Peter Molyneux, comes to your house.
He gives you a free copy of Fable.
That's the only thing that would make sense.
An antenna comes up out of the cartridge and bleeds, and then someone comes to your house.
You hear the blades of a chopper overhead.
You're God. So
congratulations.
I like to think that Peter Molyneux had actually finished Fable by the time Populous was done and was just holding on to it.
I enjoyed this game after the hours of just fucking around, trying to understand, just being confused and frustrated. Once it clicked, it was enjoyable. I'm sort of glad it was out on SNES because it broadened the audience. Sure. But this game should have just been a PC game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I could see I would have really been into it for PC. Like, I imagine Wiley Ammons will listen to the episode and be like, this is a game he would have been crazy over, and he was an early PC gamer. I would have loved
this as well as a kid. And it, honestly, if it were updated, I would totally play this, like, for reals.
It is interesting because I think that what you said, Tyrone, without it being on SNES, none of us would have played it.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
well, and
I didn't get PC games until Diablo 2 came out. That was my first PC game. So,
you know, I think I probably played more. I played like 6 or 7 worlds. I got through quite a bit of.
Yeah, you played a lot more than we did.
And I didn't find it particularly.
993 to go, buddy.
Yeah. I'll get right on that. I didn't find it particularly hard either. Once you learn how to manipulate the spells and the mana, like, it's not super, super hard. Like, once I beat that first world and I got it, I didn't die in any of the other worlds I did once I was playing through it.
Well, it doesn't get hard until you get to level 300.
Yeah, I was about to say, I probably haven't really gotten, like, there's one world where you start out half the map and just fill it red and just one dude in blue standing. Come on! Who wants it?
And then the wolves come in.
Beat the shit out of them.
At first, I would have just called this game Sim Terrain because it feels like that's all I did for a long time. Just
when I was first playing, man, I was thinking, what am I, the god of landscaping?
I would say... Go ahead.
Well, no.
I'll make a point after you make a point.
Sure. I was just saying that, it's even... I would not have played this game, and even though I played... Like, I played Syndicate, you know? I played mm-hmm. Bullfrog games, but would not have ever have heard of this if it wasn't for SNES. Mm. That's all. Continue.
If I was on a desert island that had electricity and I had to be there for 10 years and they said you could have 10 games.
So if you lived on a resort.
Right. Like a prison resort.
Okay, all right. White collar prison.
Yeah. Me in a room. I've got like a TV and some video game systems. It's got to be there for 10 years.
Not worried about rape.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I'm never worried about rape.
Anticipating rape. You looking forward to rape.
Never anticipating
rape. You should be.
And then just that tender ass of yours. You should be on just constant fear.
I'm looking at you, Ty. You should be very afraid. Or at least prepared.
But in a desert island, 10 games, 10 years. This would probably be my 10th game.
Really? Just because you could play it? Forever. You can
play it for, yeah, such a long time.
And if you finish it, Peter Molyneux will come and rescue you.
He comes and rescues me, exactly.
Come to me, hand extended.
You did it.
I can't help but think of the South Park episode where Kenny, like, turns out he can play this game that comes out, and that is actually, like, a trying to figure out who can lead the armies of heaven.
Right.
Who's the Neo to heaven and hell.
It's pretty much like our Neo. Oh, okay, yeah. Like, that's what it is. It's like, somebody designed this so we'd know who would be a good god one of these days if they could ever finish it.
Milo, we were talking about this before, that GameFAQs has, like, no real tutorial. Like, the GameFAQs tells you, like, here's what the miracles are, here are some of the levels. Like,
good luck.
Yeah, you have to watch YouTube videos to try and figure out what the fuck is going on. Like, that is your only option, other than being frustrated for a while.
Yeah, and even if you watch the YouTube videos... They were helpful, but I was still, like, honestly, I tried to use some miracles that I could never get to work. Like, I know I had enough mana. I know for sure I did. Mm-hmm. But I could never get Flood to work. I don't know what I was doing wrong. Obviously, I got Swamp to work. I just don't think anyone walked into the swamp because I had smarter cavemen.
The trick.
Well, there's a swamp there. We should avoid it.
The trick I found to that is if you would use Earthquake right before you use the swamp, it would knock the buildings down a little bit and people would appear.
Would rush out
and then immediately drop a swamp and they were bound to walk right
into it.
You're
too good at this game, motherfucker.
Sorry, man.
Those were those people. Like, this game very much appeals to a certain kind of gamer.
This and Pilot Wings, I get. Everything else, I'm just I'm like Rain Man with these just very specific games.
Our type?
I can land a hang glider and be a god. Those are my things.
Which, let's face it, are pretty much the same thing.
No, yeah.
Tyler, I've got a question for you, unless you have more points to go through.
It's just... Just me talking about how weird and frustrating it was. The music sounds like the streets of Onet in Earthbound.
Is it only four nighttime streets?
The very beginning is kind of a creepy, as you kind of go up the nighttime streets. It sounds like that, yeah, with a heartbeat laid over it.
And speaking of weird things in this game, I love the creepy guy that congratulates
yes.
you.
Yes. Congratulations, mortal. Yeah.
Is that only in conquest mode?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
When you beat a level, a weird vampire in an asteroid field, congratulations.
I don't know who this guy is and what he has to do. Like, is he your god supervisor? Is he like your boss?
But he calls you mortal, so yeah. It's like, I'm not mortal.
Like, he's accepting the fact that you're, like, it's super fucking meta.
Maybe he's the deity, and you just, like, he just took the day off. And he gave you the reins for one day.
Yeah.
Maybe he's representative of Peter Molyneux. Oh. Everyone likes that one.
Peter Molyneux is he's a vampire in the asteroid. But
it makes sense.
I read that somewhere. Yeah,
I think that's true. It's a little in Sims. I didn't get to any of them, but apparently there are some very creative levels in this game.
They're fun. I remember playing them.
It's not always cavemen. There's also, like, 8-bit mode where you're fighting viruses. There's another one where you're mice on a cake.
I didn't know any of that. Can I scratch my, this game didn't have much character?
Yeah.
Because like from your very description, that sounds like this game is more than Caveman.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that either. None of the worlds that I played ever got past Caveman.
I remember it must have been in like a Nintendo Power or something like that, because I do remember playing them as a kid. I remember being able to go through and say, oh, what world do you want to play in? I want to play in this world, and being able to play as mice or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I like to think Nintendo Power published Peter Molyneux's personal phone number. You call him and he'd give you a code to play the mice level. Bullfrog Games, this is Peter Molyneux. How may I assist you?
Pete speaking.
This would have been a great game. I mean, obviously on the Super Nintendo, it never would have been enough, but for like a create your own level mode.
Yeah.
I think that would have been really, really cool to kind of make your own world and then play through it and see how it happened.
Do we all agree that it totally belongs on this list, though?
Yeah.
Like,
it's...
Yeah, I do.
Just for the influence that it's had, like, I don't know. I think that there's no question that even though it's a weird, hard game to get into, and even though it's obviously not suited to be on the SNES, like, you see the greatness in this game, even though it is handcuffed.
And I think it's rated too low. I think it should be higher.
Yeah.
Because I was about to say, I think it's properly placed.
See, I feel like it should be in like probably like 50s.
I could see it being in the 50s. Now, granted, I haven't played through the 20 games between 50 and 70, but you know, I could see that.
I've got some achievements.
Yeah. That's what I was waiting for. Yeah. What do you got?
Galactus Jr.
Okay.
That is for conquering all 989 worlds.
Okay. How many points is that worth? Platinum trophy.
Yeah, it's a bunch. it's a platinum achievement. There you go. And then Swamp Things.
Nice.
And that would be doing what Miller did and killing all of your followers in a swamp.
Miller, do you have achievements?
Yeah, one. Water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. And that is using one flood, take out both your and the opponent's entire population at the same time.
I've got one.
Oh, yeah.
Jacob.
I've got one. It's called Four Corners, and it would be a hard one to legislate, but it's where if you have a knight on the screen and there is an enemy that is on the screen, and you follow that enemy around, dropping every area that they are on into the water until you finally catch up with them and drown them. That one.
I would have called that Night Stalker.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Dave wins.
I only have one, and it's honestly very specifically for John Turley, so I'm sorry everyone else who's listening. It's called Quake 2 Rail Arena, and in order to unlock Quake 2 Rail Arena, you have to do essentially what I did, is when your mana bar is full and you can't figure out how to do any other miracles, what you do is you move your map over the enemy's base and you just hit Earthquake until you are out of mana. That's how you unlock that, which is, I have to say, I don't know if this is a good thing or bad thing about the design of the game, but that works. Like, you will straight fuck up your opponent if you just waste all your mana on Earthquake. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've got a very important question.
Okay.
Miller and Jacob have to sit through this uncomfortableness.
Okay.
Tyler. I can feel Jacob's breath on my neck. But we'll push through.
That's what she said.
If you had to give this game a beard, if you had to choose from one of the many, many myriads of beards, what would you assign this game?
I would give this an 8-bit Sasserhala beard. Sasserhala being the old man who always helps Link out in all the Legend of Zelda games.
Okay. Okay. I thought you were going to go with Moses, man. What's up with that?
Sasserhala and Moses are, like, that was my other, like, Moses, but Sasserhala is kind of like, but let's put something more graphically inclined. Okay. It looks like you could also say 8-bit Moses.
Okay.
8-bit Moses beard.
Okay.
It's a good band name.
That is an excellent band name. 8-bit Moses beard. Megalixir, I know you might be attached to your name. However, if one of you ever goes on, like, I don't know, some kind of like solo route, not that I'm saying you guys should break up, but if one of you goes on like a solo experiment, you should probably use 8-bit.
When we join Megalixir, like whenever those bands came together and made like Mars Volta, we'll join up with Megalixir and then be 8-bit Moses
Biker beard. Mice from Mars, what?
I don't even know what it is, really.
Tyrone dropping the Mars Volta reference over here. Color me impressed.
Tyler, if you had to give this game a pair of glasses, let's pretend you're an optometrist, and you have to sit Populous down in the little chair, and you flip the lenses in front of Populous's eyes, and you ask, is this better or worse?
Number one or number two?
Number one or number two?
Number two or number three?
Better or worse?
Okay.
You guys are talking shit. I don't know.
Is number one?
That's because you have good vision, motherfucker. What kind of glasses would you get?
It's a shout out to all our glasses wearing folks out there.
Let's face Holla. It. It's 95%.
And apparently Jacob's one of them. I didn't realize.
I would give this a singular giant magnifying lens with several successively smaller magnifying lenses attached to it that when you focus it on the sun, it destroys the world.
Okay. The original death beam.
Yes.
I like it. Some people called us, Tyler.
Oh, I want to hear these people.
So
hear
from them. Sick of them.
You're one of those people.
Oh. But when it's me, it's charming.
Here's our first call.
Hello, Tanthog. This is Dennis Robinson. I was just calling because I don't know if you guys realize it, but you did coin a phrase on that episode where you talked about coining the church basement, and it would be garried, which would be to wrongly accuse someone of a sexual act. So the next time, Tyler, you decide, you know, you want to tell somebody that this person, you know, boy, girl, child, priest, you know, has touched you inappropriately, you're garrying that person. That guy just got garried. And also, at first, when you guys talked about the contest of filling out as many 5-star reviews as possible and having my face tattooed on Tyler's back, I wasn't sold. But when Diffia gets mentioned, I'm on board. So I sent some fan art in, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And also, I guess for my question, I wanted you to play a new game, which is kind of focused on what you've done, which is if you had to Gary, Church Basement, or Tylenol, these three people, which would it be of which? And basically, the Golden Girls. You know, I know there's four of them, but you pick three and tell me which one you would Gary, which one you would Church Basement, and which one you were Tylenol. Well, I love the show, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Dave, stop garrying Jacob.
I can't help it. I want to say that this is an appropriate call because, Tyler, you totally garried Josh when you rubbed your jism on his carpet.
Yeah.
And Josh refused to tell the truth. What's the opposite of garrying where you refuse to tell the truth about a situation because you know it will get someone in trouble?
That's called Stockholm Syndrome. I read about this.
I would Gary Estelle Getty.
I'm with you. That's where I was going to.
I would Church Basement Betty White, and I would Tyler Knoll Rue McClanahan.
See, I would Gary Rue McClanahan because everyone would fucking believe
everyone would believe you.
I hope Miller's listened to episodes. He's like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I know what two of these references are, but I'm trying to remember which one Rue McClanahan is. I'm not a Golden Girls aficionado.
She's the second hottest one.
Tyler says with authority.
She's a slut.
Oh, the slut. Why did you just say the slut?
Who's the slut?
There's the slut, the idiot, the annoyed one, and the old lady. Oldest lady.
The four classic archetypes.
Although Estelle Getty is not as old as Bea Arthur.
No, she's the youngest one on the entire show, isn't she?
I think Rue McClanahan is the youngest one.
I thought
one.
I read somewhere but I know that the woman who played Sophia, the oldest one, was actually the youngest of the cast.
I think Bea Arthur was like a year older than her.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucked up.
It blew my mind when I saw her in Stopper My Mom Will Shoot. Because she looked a lot younger than her character in Golden Girls at the time. Because of that, I just couldn't believe anything in that movie.
My answer is a duplicate of Jacob's on all counts. We have the same taste in garrying church basements and Tyler Knoll.
No, we do not.
We do. It's what's so
in
similar.
This
it's
certain, so similar. I need to be abundantly clear about that. We do not.
I like that church basement has taken off because Dennis, you're not the only person who has mentioned it. I'm going to go ahead and add it to Urban Dictionary. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And what I need for all of you listening to do is go to Urban Dictionary, search for church basement, and go ahead and upvote it, please.
So we've added strategically and then now yes. Church basement.
Thank you for remembering strategically. Yeah. Some other people call this.
I think Miller's still thinking about who he wants to.
Oh, are you?
He's deep in thought.
I thought you were done.
Who am I going
to? I'm trying to remember. Gary was the guy that you blamed for the porn, right? Or was
no,
that?
No.
Kim was.
Brandon was the guy I blamed for the porn. Gary was the guy who I said touched my butthole.
Oh, I do remember that now.
And you have to You have to choose Betty White.
To touch her butthole?
Not to accuse of touching your butthole.
Oh, I don't. Why would I accuse her of touching my butthole?
Because she's so sweet. No one would expect it. It would be a huge to do.
It'd be a scandal. Yeah. Saint Olaf wouldn't know what to do.
We done with this?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Dennis.
What's going on, Tadpog? Lord Micah Purdue here with this week's Would You Rather, brought to you by Mountain Dew Cold Red, so you can get that little extra kick. I wanted to kind of follow up with a man pog, would you rather, and ask your guys' opinion on church basements, and would you rather, three-part would you rather, again, following with man pog, would you rather have a black light in your church basement, a disco light in your church basement, or a strobe light in your church basement? I would have to say I'm definitely not going with a black light, because I don't want to see what's in the church basement. I'm not sure about the strobe light, seizures, things going into orifices and seizures happening and mouse clamping down, and just doesn't sound like a very good mix for me. So I guess I'm going to go with a disco ball and hope it's not the 70s and hope it's all shaved like it should be. So that's my answer. Look forward to hearing your guys. Talk to you soon. Thanks.
I must have missed something somewhere, because I swear to God, I've listened to all these episodes and church basement is not ringing a bell. What the fuck did I miss?
Tyrone fingered a girl in the church basement.
Oh, well.
It's actually a church nursery, but church basement sounds better. It sounds creepier. Well, I don't know if it sounds creepier.
Yeah.
It sounds less creepy for me.
Yeah, so the church nursery is, you go to jail for that one.
So all the Tyrone listeners are collectively protecting me.
Yeah, the church nursery is the one where you have to go around your neighborhood and let everyone know you're on the list.
I'd like the black wife.
The black wife?
The black wife in the church basement.
I think he said black light.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I'm stumped.
I guess I'm going to pick a black light in hopes that it will deter activities.
That is going to pick up so much goddamn fecal matter.
Like, do you want this church basement to turn into a rave or an opium den? I mean, what are you trying to go for here?
I have to go with strobe light, because if Matrix Revolutions taught me anything, it's
and
that...
And it taught you a
oh
lot.
Oh, my God. I based my whole life after this movie, because it was so good. I mean, two of my favorite movies, Matrix Revolutions, Stop or My Mom Will Shoot. But I learned that strobe lights make everything sexier. When you're giving her the old church basement, you want that strobe going.
You can watch it go in and out, because it seems like it's going, everything's slowing
down. Like a magic trick. You do it really fast, it looks like you're doing it slowly. Strobe light all the way. Miller, do you want to participate?
I mean, I guess a strobe light. I don't understand what you're going for with that. What would you rather have in the church basement while you're...
The other way to take it is, what would you like in your butt? Because I wasn't sure.
Black light.
Yeah, black light easily.
The secret answer is VeggieTales.
Oh.
So, sorry, secret answer, VeggieTales.
Turns out it was an Incredible Hulk.
We got another call. There might be a church basement reference in it. I'm not sure. But probably, no.
It's
I was
really.
Like, three in a row?
Not really.
Stop talking about the church basement.
It's actually the girl that got the church basement.
Tyler?
Got her on the line.
I really don't appreciate
it. Tyler, I don't.
I'm here with Gary. We're very upset.
This is Laura, representing 1/6 or so of your listening demographic, that is, wives of hosts and guests. The Childs household also had a selection of McDonald's Transformer toys, although I'm not sure where they came from, since that wasn't really a place we went to much at all. Since I have a rather visual memory, once I saw the photo in the show notes, I thought of a Tumblr I started following recently which is obscure video games, it's all in word, .tumblr.com, that posts gifts of old obscure video games and lately has been posting for McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure for the Sega Genesis in 1993. Also, Radar Love, the SNES really missed out. That song is ridiculous and also rockin'. Racing is a side game, particularly in KOTOR and SOTOR, that's nice, the Old Republic, annoyed the crap out of me, but I've played other racing games. I mean, maybe this just born out of a deep nostalgia for the mini arcade and the Dairy Queen we frequented as a child. Pole Position 2. Did they make an arcade version of F-Zero? Is my memory playing tricks on me? Also, Animal Crossing. I guess that would be my question for Manpog. Should I get a 3DS? I keep encountering more people that are sunk into their Animal Crossing worlds, and I am feeling very tempted. And as far as the thing about shirts, shoot me a file with the logo and let me put that on Zazzle. I mean, that logo would be hot embroidered, and it would be much easier to pimp Tadpog at Dragon Con with sweet-ass shirts, or perhaps shirts for our asses. And you say nobody reads show notes. Obviously, I read show notes, or I wouldn't have seen the picture of the McDonald's toys. But I can't buy your shitty one-cent books via your Amazon page if there's no links in the show notes. I saw the one-cent book, but there's no link. I guess if I wanted to read shitty books, I could locate plenty of Wheel of Time books already in the house. Don't you weave your magic on me, Tyrone.
That was, I loved that. Laura sounded like a This American Life correspondent or something like that. It was like a communique from a place with actual journalism or something like that. It was nice.
It was well done. It was well
I
done.
I loved it.
It seemed well thought out, unlike, yeah, you know, our podcast.
Or like anytime I call, when I listen to it again, it's like, why are you saying so much? Hey, you guys, Jacob. I'm going to talk about Shadowrun. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good, but I don't know. I don't know if it's a thing. Maybe you want. Maybe you can later.
Give me another beer.
But anyway, I'm in Texas, so talk to you later. Bye.
And that call was from Jacob.
But, like, that sounded great.
It sounded really good.
But, Laura, there's no link to the one-cent books. It's a mystery that I'm going to reveal at the end of this show.
Ba-da-dun, ba-da-dun.
So, yeah.
Tyler, we really need to discuss these things before you just spring them up. I have an answer to at least one of Laura's questions.
Okay.
Obviously, those McDonald's Transformer toys came from McDonald's. I'm just going to say they probably came from McDonald's, Laura.
Probably.
Just going to say that.
Probably.
Also, yes, please get a 3DS. And I say that only because I want to make 4% off of the Amazon sale. I'll have a link in the show notes to the 3DS specifically for you, Laura. The link will actually say, Laura, here is the link to your 3DS. You click on that and we'll get 4% of the sale. So thank you very much for asking that question. And I'm glad I could answer it honestly and with integrity.
I might buy a 3DS.
I'll make a separate link for you, Jake.
No separate link necessary. I will use Laura's.
You have to check with Laura to make sure she's okay with that.
And none of the Wheel of Time books qualify as a shitty book, Laura Ammons. All right.
Don't you weave your magic.
The look on his face right so now is funny. Just disgust.
Yeah, I'm just...
Fuck that.
I've got a hold of Sidene and it's just raging. It's raging inside me right now with that commentary.
Raging who, Don?
Who / Don?
But thanks, Laura.
Oh, and also, yeah, if you want to wear our faces on your shirt at Dragon Con, I'll certainly send you the logo file. I'm not going to do it.
What's up, Tadpog? It's Yuki's cousin calling again. Dave's Golden Girls dating sim got me thinking, what game genre doesn't exist would you like to see? So I would put a Golden Girl dating sim in the geriatric dating sim genre. So my question to you guys is, what gaming genre doesn't exist that you would like to see? I'll be listening and look forward to hearing your
thoughts. I like that I think our subtitle for Tadpog should be your source for Golden Girls commentary. I love that. A lot of our listeners also enjoy Golden Girls. It's just like the weird Venn diagram of like old video games, Golden Girls, and it just matches
it's
up.
It's not even a Venn diagram, it's just a circle.
What's up with this green circle? That's a hard fucking question.
That's a hard question.
That is.
You guys, I was thinking of like, what's a new color? Tell me what a new color would look like.
Jacob, well, yes.
No, I was thinking maybe, I don't know, this is a cop out, but maybe a genre that we know of that we don't necessarily feel like gets enough attention.
No, that's not what he asked at all. But I know, go ahead and share your thoughts.
But I got no answer. I got no answer then. I got nothing.
I'm sorry, Jacob.
It's okay.
Please.
No, you're right. Because I'm trying to shift it. I'm trying to not answer his question.
I'm gonna say plague game. We've never seen a genre of games that involve plagues, and I say that only because of the snails and populace.
Plague Inc. for the iPhone.
I'm about to say Plague Inc. You've apparently never played.
I've never heard of this. What is Plague Inc.? No.
You basically
design a plague, yeah, and you unleash it on a certain area, and then you have to make sure that...
Why has no one told me about this game?
I've got it on my phone.
It's on Reddit a lot. You'll see, yeah, like Madagascar.
Yeah, that's how I discovered it.
Fucking Madagascar and Greenland are so hard to get to.
That's pandemic.
Yeah, it's basically that, which is basically...
That's not a plague game. That's like an isolating a disease game. That's not a plague game.
I'm failing to see the difference in what you're talking about here. I mean, I am too,
honest. Hold on. I am too. All right, fine. I'm going to go with, let's go with the comic strip genre, where you just choose your favorite comic strip, and if it's Marmaduke, you fucking lose.
Let's go with a black plague doctor simulator, to where you are a plague doctor trying to invent nonsensical cures for the black plague during...
I love it.
During the Middle Ages, yeah.
Which none of them work.
Nope.
So it's a game, it's pretty one-sided, this game.
Where you just, inventive ways to kill people and pass it off as cure. That's Grand Theft Auto. Okay.
Professional wrestler career simulator, insofar as you are a professional wrestler and it does not treat it as if it is a real thing. But you have to, it would basically be a professional wrestler RPG where you improve your skills, but some of the skills also include like backstage interaction, cutting promos and stuff like that. And you try and get higher in the wrestling hierarchy.
I see some connect functionality.
Right?
Mm.
Power bombs.
This is a really like dark fucking thing that came to mind when I was thinking about that was
good
games that simulate sort of mass murderers and serial killers. Like you can play a game and live through what their like serial killer career was like.
It's like the Madden.
That's a good idea. Like you play as Jeffrey Dahmer committing those murders.
Yeah.
EA Sports Dahmer 2013.
Yeah, so I hope I don't end up on that FBI list you were worried about. I would totally love to see what it's like to be John Wayne Gacy for a day. Just dress up like a fucking clown.
Go Bundy. Don't go Gacy. Go Bundy.
Have you guys...
Dave Moore 2013.
Well, look, at least he was in the women. I'm just going to say that.
No.
Do you guys, this is actually just like a conversation thing, but none of you guys listen to the BS report, right?
I do not.
It's well, Bill Hader was on.
What, you mean Fox News?
This guy. Bill Hader was on.
We need the laser sound effects.
And he talked about one of the weird like running jokes that he had with Lorne Michaels is that Lorne Michaels is like a consummate name dropper. And because of that, like Bill Hader started doing an impression of him where he would work in serial killers to the people that he was name dropping. He would be like, oh, you know, I was living with Paul Simon in the East Village and we decided to go out to dinner with BTK killer. And it's worth listening to that episode of the podcast just to hear his impression.
Wait, this is another podcast? We can't do that. There's only one podcast, Jacob.
Okay.
Look at iTunes. It's us. And then like This American Life. That's not even a podcast.
What are these podcasts I hear of? Tadpog, eh?
But yeah, it's good. It's worth listening to just to hear that part. Oof, it's so funny.
I will check that out. Believe it or not, I'm a podcast junkie.
What?
I don't know if you would ever put that together.
r/podcasts.
In podcasting and Podcast Alliance, there's way too many podcast subreddits.
Is that any more calls? No one else loves us?
No one else.
Okay. Okay. Well, I got people to thank. So for Facebook shares, us.
Moving right along.
Matt Barger, Lord Micah Purdue, Jess Docker at Silk Tree Post, and probably Josh Nance and Nicole Nance, although they didn't show up in the feed.
Wait, you forgot Miller and Jacob York.
Mm-mm.
What?
Mm-mm.
Guys.
That'll be next week.
You guys really want me to share Jungle Strike?
For tweets.
Touché.
Laura Ammons, Taryn, Tony, and Drew.
Thanks, guys.
For kind words and posts, Eli. Let's see. Eli Phillips for... I wrote down something that starts with an A.
The Final
answer.
Fantasy.
I think it says answer.
Yeah. Asshole.
Thank you, Eli, for your asshole. we'll roll with that. For his Final Fantasy post, they got for point of conversation. Daniel Yu.
Me? Daniel me.
Daniel Yu.
Sorry. Vaudeville. I gotta love it, right?
Let's see. Lord Micah Purdue for posting a Jungle Strike walkthrough for us.
Yes, thanks. I'm never
going back
that
to that, though. Mm-hmm. Yep. Ivy King Hipster for introducing us to Salty Bet.
Yes. Well, I'll put a link to Salty Bet in the show notes. You need to check it out. I think someone's running a hacked ROM of like Marvel vs. Capcom for the Dreamcast, but there are crazy fights going on in this game. Like things that should not be.
Nope.
Like characters from Dragon Ball Z fighting, I don't know, characters from the Marvel universe, like Carnage, for example.
Yeah, I saw Tetsuo from Akira versus Pan from some random character from Bleach versus Akuma. Yeah, some other version, some weird version of Akuma.
And it's all a Twitch feed that you bet on who's going to win.
Oh, wow.
But everyone talks in caps very, very quickly on the side.
Yes.
And then the newest fiefdom owner in the Tadpog world, what? Drew, for sending us Frozen Synapse over Steam. So much thanks and congratulations on that you are now a landowner, Sir Drew.
Yes, thank you.
We had one new iTunes review.
Good.
From James Name, not a nickname.
That doesn't make sense. No. It's obviously a nickname.
James Name. No one's name is James Name. And then we need to announce the winners of the contest for the Mario coin.
Okay.
Matt's Fat Package.
These are the little extra bits of his package. What we got? Who won?
RG Countdown.
Okay. RG Countdown, contact us some way. Probably on Facebook would be best.
And then the mystery book that I bought off Amazon for 1 cent.
Yes.
Model Land by Tyra Banks.
That's a good one.
The recipient of Model Land by Tyra Banks is Tyler Dunnigan.
Oh.
Draw a random number generator, drew him out of the iTunes reviews.
He'll appreciate that.
Seems fishy.
So he'll love it. He will
Tyler
love it.
You mean Tyler Sullivan of Madden 94 fame. Did I say Tyler Sullivan?
Yes, you did.
Well, sorry, Tyler Dunnigan. Obviously, Tyler Sullivan.
I thought there was a really funny joke coming out of
that. That's where I went to culinary school. That's my name.
We don't know.
I'm sorry. I'm having a stroke.
I'm wearing my chef jacket while I'm sitting across from you, so you made some weird connection.
You mean Tyler Dunnigan? Oh, Tyler Dunnigan of Madden 94 fame? This is fucking weird.
Yep.
I'm out of this fucking show.
But, and then... if I can find another 1 cent book and buy it, we'll have another shitty book giveaway.
I still need to find. I'll find a 1 cent book. We've got a used bookstore here in town. I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna go to the lady at front who's always wearing a dusty dress and like one sandal, and I'm gonna ask her. I need a book for a penny. I'm just gonna see what happens. And someone can win that.
Every month, coming in for a new penny book.
Here comes Penny Book Boy. That's what she says. Every
You're
time
my
she
favorite
sees
customer.
I love Penny Book Boy. thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher so you don't miss the next episode we'll be talking about Out of This World.
I can tell you we're going to love that
one. Oh, no.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the show a 5-star rating. Write a review. You could win. We'll start the contest over. Probably win a Mario coin. Maybe a Halo figurine. What? Maybe some Mortal Kombat trading cards.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks again to everybody, and special thanks to Sean Miller and Jacob York.
Yep. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
Adding on to your title of this fame.
Anything either of you want to plug?
No, I'm a boring son of a bitch.
I am too.
I will probably be on again before I have a show, so I think I'm probably fine. Follow me on Twitter at Jake Hobster.
There you go.
Like me on Facebook, yep. Jacob York.
Season pro. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we will be back next week. But if you can't wait for more Tadpog, you can leave us feed books. You can leave us feed books.
You can feed us books.
You can feed us leave books.
As long as they're one penny.
You can eat fat bugs.
You can eat fat bugs at tadpog.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/tadpog.
I wondered where I was going to find fat bugs to eat. Thank God.
I get fat bugs and all the Golden Girls trivia I want. Our intro song, Tyler, is Moves by Megalixir by Sycamore Drive.
Shit. It's got to be your bowl.
A link to that track can be found on the show notes at tadpog.com, as well as the link to the original track. So you can compare them. You can make a day of it.
Oh, damn it. You can read Model Land and listen to our intro song comparisons.
That's a show.
Oh no, Jonathan Brandis, man. I watch Ladybugs a lot.
I do too, yeah.
Right?
Had the weirdest boners over girl Jonathan Brandis.
That girl was cute.
They got a lot of balls. Huh? That's the only line from that movie I remember from like the 12 times I've seen it.
I just remember that girl being really cute. The one that Jonathan
that
Brandis
was Jonathan
falls,
Brandis.
The one that Jonathan Brandis falls for. But Jonathan Brandis didn't look bad.
That also, girl was so cute. She had like the tiniest dick.
Just enough.